You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles, and we're looking forward to a victory Monday. It's not going to be that way, although it was a very eventful game. It had some good, it had some bad, and it had some very ugly as well. Obviously, the main event is Jameis Winston and getting pulled for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Personally, I asked for it to happen at halftime. Don't know what's happening in Jameis Winston's life, but if you're looking through his mask, it sure looked like he didn't want to be there. It looks like he looks like a golfer who's lost his swing, and you don't want to be in front of everybody, and that's exactly where he is. Dirk Koetter has not come out and said anything about the starter for next game. I don't know how, with the right mind, he can put Jameis Winston back out there as a starter unless the Glazers are mandating it. That's the only way. And if it's to that point, well, Dirk Koetter should ask to be fired, because you can't look at Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard and tell them that the best chance to win is Jameis Winston, because he's not. He's not. Before, I said this one, and everybody's going to say, well, Ian keeps on flip-flopping. I am absolutely not flip-flopping. This is what I said way back when. When we make a switch, it has to be about Jameis and not about Fitzpatrick. And that's the case today. If we switch today, it's not about how great Ryan Fitzpatrick played, and Ryan Fitzpatrick played his ass off again. It's what Jameis looked like. Jameis was the worst football player on the field yesterday, period. Now, there's plenty of bad football players because, you know, people are going to put it all on Jameis. Our defense hasn't stopped anybody when it matters yet, okay? We keep on saying our defense is getting better. Better than what? Better than the worst of all time? Because we are on pace to be the worst defense of all time, and we haven't missed a beat. Before the game, they were talking about the Buccaneers giving up 33 points a game, which is unheard of, okay? Go back to the Monty Kiffin era. I can think of two or three times that they gave up 33 points, and the Bucs are averaging about 33 points, actually a little bit more because they gave up 37 yesterday, so the average is going to go up. If I showed you the box scores, half of them, if I showed you the Bucs' offensive box scores, other than the six sacks and four interceptions, and that's a lot, people. Six, if you look up in the history, when you give up six sacks and four interceptions, if you win 5% of the time, God bless, because you just don't win in those situations. But when you look at the box scores offensively and you see 29 first downs, that's winning. 10 for 18 on third down, winning. 2 for 2 on fourth down. 576 total yards, 83 plays in a regulation game. 70 is a big number, okay? Listen, the Bengals had 63 plays, and they pretty much walked it up and down the field. We had 83 plays, okay? 6.9 yards an offensive play, 126 yards of rushing. Those are all wonderful numbers. 4.7 yards a rush, 470 total net passing yards. Yeesh. Three punts and had the ball for 36 minutes. Without the interceptions and without the sacks, it's hard to look at that and say that the Buccaneers lost. But they lost. Now, why did they lose? Well, part of it's Jameis, okay? Part of it's Jameis, and part of it is the lack of discipline on this football team. Jameis is part of it. If you look at all the interceptions that Jameis threw, half of them were overthrows. He has tunnel vision. He's still not really able to look off a receiver. That's never been his thing. The first interception to Mike Evans was three feet at least over his outstretched arm. Mike's a big old dude. Jameis's launch point is wrong. His footwork is really bad. Okay. quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators are really, really sticklers for footwork. And I used to listen to what they were saying, and not like I was going to use it, but there's certain things you're supposed to do, and there's certain things that that are common to coaching. And a couple times yesterday when Jameis threw a pick, I would literally put my hand over his body and I would just look at his feet on the television screen. And you should be able to see where he's throwing the football because you're supposed to lead with the foot, be moving forward, and having momentum going. Jameis, before he threw, he was literally splitting his feet out to the sidelines and throwing off his back foot. It's uncertainty. It's lack of confidence. Then you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. He comes back. He's decisive. He makes a decision. He gets the ball out of his hands. Jameis, it's time. It's time because I don't know how marketable Jameis is right now. If you're another team struggling, looking for a quarterback, you know, what would make you think that you can, you know, pick up Jameis Winston in the middle of the season and he's going to win for you? How is he going to pick up that system when he can't pick up our own system? There's a lot of question marks. He has tunnel vision. He's soaring balls. His footwork is terrible. He looked like a rookie yesterday. The interception for a touchdown, he looked like a rookie. He's uncomfortable in the pocket. He statistically, he's going to have numbers. He had 210 passing yards in the first half and 9 points. He's an inefficient football player right now because Cannizzaro and Jameis are in the same boat. Even when successful, it doesn't look good. Because Cannizzaro, when he kicks it through the uprights, it's not in the middle. It's just in. And Jameis Winston, everybody's seeing the passes that he's soaring because, you know, they're glaring. But they're not noticing that on the slant, he's putting the ball 2 feet behind and the receiver has to reach back for it. Or he's not putting the ball in the right place. He's just not. But he's not the only problem. Yesterday, he was the biggest problem. I have people saying to me, well, last week he played really well against Cleveland. Well, he threw two interceptions and he fumbled the ball and lost it. If that's well, then our definition of playing well has got to change because this is not fantasy football, okay? Now, our defensive line, everybody jumped offside yesterday. Other than JPP, and I don't care what JPP does, he could jump offside if he wants because if there's one guy other than Quan Alexander, who plays hard, and Quan's gone, and we missed him yesterday immensely. If you guys aren't a Quan Alexander fan, you missed him yesterday for sure because they were running the ball up and down our ass, and we don't look the same without Quan Alexander. I don't hear any clacks out there. I don't see anything happening behind the line of scrimmage. JPP's still getting after the quarterback. It's all good, but there's not a lot of great things happening. If you take out JPP off that defense, and then I say, who else on that defense is a difference maker? I'll wait for the answer. Now, Dirk Cutter went out on a limb and drafted a kicker, Aguayo, in the second round. Didn't work. He kind of went out on a limb and drafted Vita V, who was out, you know, out of the mold of the normal Bucs defensive line. I'm not going to say Vita V is a bust because that's not fair. You know, I'm going back and forth with Warren Sapp and we're texting. He's not a bust, but right now he is a very poor football player. What we used to call, when you watch film and you look at somebody that plays like Vita V, we used to call him slugs. He's a slug. He's just a guy. He's a big, fat guy right now. He doesn't make any plays. The balls run right at him. He can't disengage from the block. He can't. And then he tries to run after the play and make, that's not your, dude, block up gaps. Make plays. You don't have to make tackles, but make plays. Make the running back change his direction. Nothing. Nothing from V to V. And there's a couple plays where you go, oh man, that is terrible. You know, it's hard to, for me to reenact the play. But the play was running to the right. I think it was a touchdown play that Mixon had where he just walked into the end zone. Like it looked like the Bucs defense was conceding the touchdown. V to V was front side as a cock nose. Front side. the guard blocked out, so the center was one-on-one on V2V and just reached him and locked him up. Great football players would have smashed that play. You don't run that against great football players. You can't reach him in that situation. And he got reached with ease. V2V is not a good football player. Ronald Jones, I'll call bust right now. I'm not calling bust on V2V. I'm calling bust on Ronald Jones. And he's sitting on the sidelines, pulled hamstring. Boo frickety who. Well, you got two touches, now you got a pulled hamstring? What's happening with athletes these days? I don't know. The Bucs have three pretty good offensive linemen. DeMar Dotson holds his own for the most part. Ali Marpet's a good football player, and I really like this Jensen kid at center. Now, Benenock and Donald Smith collectively got to go. And I'm hearing rumors of the Bucs re-signing Donovan Smith. If you can't find somebody better than Donovan Smith, shame on you. Shame. Donovan Smith's not a good football player. He's not. He's undisciplined and lazy. Plays lazy. And I don't see any toughness at all. And if that was an experiment, that experiment didn't work either. It's not working. And there's a lot of things out there that aren't working. Defensively, what's important about this defense is lanes. You got defensive fits. And there's running backs running scot-free. You just didn't see that way back when. You never saw that. And they keep on trying to make this defense better with the same personnel, and the results seem to be the same. Without Quan Alexander, we're definitely more susceptible to the run, okay? Definitely. And some of the guys last week that were big superstars, they disappeared, like Nassif and those guys, they disappeared. I didn't really hear anybody's name. Big old white kid, what's the defensive line? I can't think of his name right now. Big old swole up white kid, defensive lineman. Inside, from Philadelphia. Bo Allen. Has he made a tackle yet this year? I haven't seen him make a tackle. Not one. V2V had a half a tackle yesterday. I didn't see it. He had a half a tackle a week before. I saw that one. It was 15 yards down the field. He jumped on the pile. That's not doing anything. They're not there to get 10 tackles, but I'll be damned if you let somebody run down your throat and you can't come up with a tackle, all right? I'll be damned. Nassif was supposed to be this great guy. He came from Cleveland, and he got such a steal. He played one good game last week against Cleveland, whose offensive line is terrible. Yesterday, he was just straight lose and contain. They were running around our ends, and the second they pitched the ball, I go, oh, boy. Like, you could see that they had the edge immediately. Every time the Bucs had a good run, it was a holding penalty. For us to give up that many yards defensively, give up six sacks, four interceptions, and still have a chance to win that game is beyond me. I don't know how the Bucs had a chance to win that game at the end. And everybody wants to completely blame this on the offense. Well, you know what? You can blame it on the offense all you want, but the defense had a chance to, you know, at least take this thing to overtime when it matters, because our defense is giving up, was 33 points a game before that. I gave it 37 yesterday, so that number is going to go up a little bit. So you're giving up that many points, and think about this. In the first half of these games, they're giving up like probably an average of 27 points a game. The second half, teams aren't really winging it anymore. They're kind of throttling it back a little bit. But when it matters, this defense cannot stop anybody. When it matters, the Bucs defense is a sieve. You can drive down the field, and it doesn't matter how much time you got. We saw against, might have been 2 weeks ago, 20 seconds down the field against Atlanta, and you know, you're going to go 60 yards in 20 seconds and still have 6 seconds left to kick a field goal at the end of the half. The end of the half and the end of the game are very important. And those are very good teams and great teams figure out ways to stop people and score points in those situations. And the Bucs never do. And they always give it up. We're to a point now where Catanzaro's, I don't think anybody has confidence in him, including Dirk Koetter. He may be a guy got to go. You can't keep on missing these extra points, man. And those just barely ones in are going to start missing too. This is not going to turn out well. And, you know, Jason Light can't find a kicker. It's been a long time. He can't find a kicker. He's finally found a pass rusher in JPP, although I can't give you complete credit because he was a legitimate football player coming in here. But there's still a lot of bad picks all around this football team. But that being said, when I'm watching this team, I don't know if we're far off. I don't know if the right coach is at the helm. I don't know if Dirk Cutter's the right guy. I don't know if Jason Light's the right guy. I see a whole lot of a potential, probably just on the offensive side, but it doesn't seem like they're missing much. It really doesn't. DeSean Jackson has every right to be upset because I don't know why they don't take six shots a game. Because if you think about the times they've gone deep to DeSean Jackson, either Fitzmagic hit him, or Jameis hit him, or Jameis missed him. You rarely see DeSean Jackson covered down the field. I don't know why they don't go to that more often. It seems like it makes sense to me. You know, you could actually predicate your offense on deep balls because we don't do anything overly consistent as an offense. We ran the ball better yesterday than we probably ran the ball all year. And if you take away some of those holding penalties, the numbers would have been even better. But, you know, there's some tough throws being made out there. Jameis made some tough throws. Jameis has the ability to make some tough throws, but he had four picks yesterday. And listen, if you watch the game, and I watched it three times already, if you watch the game, it should have been seven. It should have been seven interceptions yesterday, easily. There was two easy ones that were dropped, and there was another one that could have definitely been picked. So it could have been seven. Now, your coach is not going to let it get to seven, but he had the ability to throw seven picks really in the first half almost. It's too much. It's too much for Jameis right now. And if you're Jameis' agent, you got to be thinking, time to get out of here. Time to run because, you know, backing up Ryan Fitzpatrick on a bad football team is not conducive to big contracts. I think it's very evident that Jameis is not going to get a big contract here. And it gets to a point sometimes where maybe you overstayed your welcome because he has his teammates looking at him now. I don't know if they have any confidence in him, nor should they, because he doesn't have any confidence in himself. So where do we go forward? I know people are taking bets whether it's going to be Jameis or Fitzmagic. I don't think there's any way that it can be Jameis. I just don't see it. And if it's the case, I just think we've given up on the season. Because they mess around and win that game yesterday. You know, they go five. I mean, they're not going anywhere now, okay? That was a very winnable game. You look at the schedule, there's more winnable games, but that's if you're a consistent football team. I mean, I don't see them beating Carolina. I don't see them beating the Saints. We don't stop anybody. It's going to be hard to beat Carolina. But as a Buccaneer fan, you can't give up, I guess. But the era, I think the Jameis era is over. I think it's done. Whether he's here or not, I don't know. I just don't think people realize if you're not the starter what he has to do. And I just don't think he's up for it. You don't go from no quarterback, I'm not going to say no quarterback, but not many quarterbacks have gone from picture on the side of the stadium to holding a clipboard and running scout team. Not quietly, nor should they. I mean, Jameis has made Pro Bowls. Jameis has put up amazing numbers. He should believe in himself. He's not playing like he believes in himself. And it's obvious that the teammates around him don't have confidence in him because DeSean Jackson asking for a trade is literally looking Jameis Winston in the face and saying, I can't stand you as a quarterback. Because, you know, DeSean was smiling ear to ear at the beginning of the season when Fitzmagic was in there. And he had a little bit more boost in his step, it looked like, when he got in there yesterday. But I don't know. It's not going to be clean. It's like a breakup. Not, you know, it seems like it's going to be clean, but It's never clean, never. And Dirk Cutter's in a tough situation. I'm hoping that the Glazers are allowing him and Jason Light to make their own decisions. But I just think it's time for that change. And when it gets to a point where if they put Jameis Winston in the game and he's home, what do you think is going to happen? First of all, there's going to be a bunch of people with beards with Fitzmagic jerseys on, and he's going to get booed. Is he ready for that? Is that what he wants? Because when it gets to a point where your own fans are booing you, you know, sometimes it's time to go. And I just think it's time to go for Jameis. Something is up. It could be something in his world. I don't know what it is. He's endured so much throughout his career in college and also in the pros. Adversity, all that of which he created. He's endured so much that if something's bothering him that much, it's got to be something big. I don't know. Either that or something was up yesterday. That's the worst game I've seen Jameis Winston play since the beginning. I've seen him play every single game. I've not missed one Jameis Winston game. That's the worst I've seen him look since the beginning. That's the way you should look as a rookie sometimes. That happens. But as a fifth-year player that's been in the same system for as long as he has, he threw five balls yesterday that he had no business throwing, at least. And he soared about a dozen of them. It was a really, really bad look. It was a bad look. There were so many points and yards left on that football field from inadequacy from the offensive line, from soaring balls. It wasn't clean. And they still scored a bunch of points. But that's just the way of the NFL. They're going to score points. You know, Jameis, it would have left him in the game. I don't know if he doesn't throw six picks. Because in between a couple plays here and there, the rest of it was really hard to watch. It was painful to watch. Because I'm a Buccaneer fan. I'm a fan of Jameis because I want Jameis to be successful. Because that's the best chance we have for our future. Now, right away, everybody's like, Fitzmagic is a quarterback, and now next year we'll work around him. What, you think you're going to go into 2019 as Ryan Fitzpatrick as your starting quarterback? I mean, it's cool now. Now, you're also assuming that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to win a bunch of games towards the end of this year. We don't know that. We don't know that because he's looked fantastic in three games, and in a couple games he looked very Fitzpatrick-like. Now, yesterday he came back and he brought a bunch of spark, but it's almost like he's better when there's no pressure on him as well. Like when Jameis is suspended and you're the quarterback, he didn't have a lot of pressure on him. He's a backup quarterback. If he went 1-2 and played all right, everybody would like, good job. He played out of his ass, okay? He played out of his ass. And then when he was the guy and Jameis was back and maybe with a little bit more pressure on him, he didn't play as well. So we'll see now, because if you go with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis is on the bench, then you go back to Jameis, it looks wishy-washy. Now you have Jameis going in there without any confidence, and you don't want wishy-washy in your locker room, because all players, they sniff out wishy-washy, that's for sure. Well, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any easier. And I got my eye on all of them because people were asking for, I was at a bar yesterday, people were asking for Dirk Cutter's head, Jason Light's head. That's not going to help anything right now. They got enough turmoil and you know, total devastation in there, and getting rid of everybody is not going to make it any better, especially at this time and transitioning quarterbacks. We don't know if it's going to happen yet, but I'm sure we're going to find out here real soon. I think the best thing for our team, for our sanity, is to give it to Ryan Fitzpatrick and see what he can do for the rest of the year, and we'll go from there. I just think that's what's right for your team as well. If anybody ever wants to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. We also have a podcast room here at Foot Flavor of Tampa Bay. If anybody wants to start their own podcast, you could get in contact with me, and we can figure out how we can facilitate your podcast. It's not that hard. Just have something to say, and we can roll from there. Let's hope that we can figure out a way to get things done next week. I have a cannabis podcast on Wednesday, Flavoring Year on Friday. We also have Flavor of Tampa Bay, which airs on Tuesday. So you definitely want to look and check out all the podcasts. avenues, and check us out there. We're on just about all of them. So let's hope the Buccaneers figure out what's going on with their quarterback situation and figure out a way to get a couple wins, because this has been a roller coaster season, that's for sure. It's not boring, but it's tiring. Very, very tiring. Everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll find out soon who's our quarterback. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
If you want to be a more learned fan, try to be more objective about what you're watching. And the thing about, you know, I know this is the next thing, is fans get really negative about certain people in the media. And listen, for all I know, because I think most fans listen to those guys a lot more than I do, probably right. Maybe some of them themselves are biased and don't know as much. Maybe haven't watched your team as much as you have and are maybe wrong about their assessments. But, you know, understand, too, that there are some people that do know, and when they provide an analysis that is thorough, that when they're critiquing your team, they're not being critical. Folks, because I get paid by college programs and NFL teams to critique what they're doing, strategy, personnel, how good they are, how good they're not, if I'm getting paid by them to critique and tell them in a blunt truth of where they are, and I mean, if they want to hear that, then an intelligent fan should want to hear that as well.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.